RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. Ben Cole, Nick Bozzelli, and Dante Vermey with you. Mike Funyak has the day off.
Does he really?
He's got the day off. Yeah. First thing we want to talk about, we've got Dante Vermey in here, talking sports. We can finally stop complaining, speculating about when the Robert Morris football team is going to win a game. It happened.
It happened.
It happened.
Finally it happened. It took long enough.
So what was it that finally broke the deadlock for the team?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, it was just a serious gut check going into that fourth quarter. They were down 18 to CCSU. They came back, rather they scored 18 unanswered in the fourth. They were down, and I mean, it was just a gut check time. They were going into the fourth quarter down 24-9. So whatever Coach Banaszak probably said, it worked, because they finally pulled it off, got the proverbial monkey off their back.
So does this mean that, you know, this week we're going to win again? Are we going to go back to our losing ways, or was this a bit of a fluke?
Well, I mean, I think finally for a week they can go into a game not thinking about, oh gosh, we got to win that first one. They finally got that over with, and they can finally focus on playing their game. And at Bryant's, not going to be easy. It's going to be a really tough game for them. And you know, finally putting the first one in. I mean, they're only 1-1 in conference, so you know, if they can somehow string off the last four and win it out, who knows what happens?
Okay. Okay, so we'll be looking forward towards that. Let's shift a little bit to soccer, specifically the women's. Our stunning goalkeeper, Becky Schoenecker, has gotten some accolades from the league.
Yeah, Becky got named the Defensive Player of the Week for the NEC for the second time this season. She collected her third shutout, and she only allowed one goal over the two games, and you know, it's been that season for them where they've had a lot of trouble scoring, but they had the anchor in net in Becky, and it's going to be unfortunate because she's a senior, so she'll be leaving at the end of the season. But they're 2-2-1 in league play, so, you know, it's the same with the football team. Who knows what's going to happen? Their final home game is Sunday. They'll play St. Francis at 1. I mean, I think it's, once you finally get your wins in conference, you know, you can sort it out, but who knows what will happen. And hopefully they play well, because they do everything really well, except for they have that little problem in the last third trying to put the ball in the net.
Now, one thing that people always say, especially goalkeepers, whenever they get accolades, that they always give credit to the players that are in front of them, and specifically right in front of Becky is the defensive line. How good is that defensive line for Becky?
It's interesting, because it's almost all freshmen. Outside of Melissa Ercole, you have Kayla Kelly and Madison Duncan. It's three freshmen and a junior most of the time. And then Petrowski gets rolled in there as well. It's a lot different from last year, because last year it was, if I remember correctly, three seniors in that back line. So it was very, very experienced. This is a fresh, young line, and Coach Kowalski hasn't been afraid to put them in pressure situations, which I think is going to play dividends down the road.
I don't think a lot can really scare Kowalski.
No.
No.
I don't think so either. You put him up against a bear, he's going to say, hey, how are you?
I think he's going to do a little bit more than say, hey, how are you, but I'll take that.
Yeah.
Shift over to the men. Nico Brett. He didn't get any accolades this week from NEC, but he's still having a very good season.
Yeah, he's been kind of at home. He's been kind of an enigma. He's either going to score four or he's not going to score. And I think that's been tying into the team play. I mean, right now in conference, they're 0-3-1. They got a draw against St. Francis Brooklyn last week. They got three games left in conference, and he's just been he's been either red hot or just cold.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. He's only a junior, and I think with Broussal behind him, they're going to be a very formidable 1-2 punch going down the road.
Now, I had a conversation with Chris Mueller, just via Twitter. There is the possibility. I mean, because he's such a good player, he's such a powerhouse. You know, he's got one more year of academic eligibility. Do we see him possibly going the way of Miro Cabrillo and foregoing that year in possibly testing the waters professionally, maybe even trying out for the Riverhounds? Or Kowalski manages Fort Pitt Regiment in NPSL. Is there a possibility he could do that, or could he come back next year?
I think he'll come back, but I wouldn't be surprised if, being a Jamaican, that if the national team comes calling at some point. I think it's inevitable with his skill set. He's probably the fastest player I've ever seen here at RMU. He's got so much positives on his side. I wouldn't be surprised if he left, but I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed either.
Now, Mueller says that he's going to come back for his senior year, that he's very academically oriented, and, good for him. I applaud him for that. Cabrillo didn't. He had a decent season coming off the bench consistently for the Riverhounds and started here and there. Riverhounds obviously didn't have that good of a season, but Miro was a little bit of a bright spot. Do you think that Miro might take him aside to say, hey, you should do this, or hey, maybe you should stay?
I think the nice thing for Nico is that Miro is here as an assistant coach.
Yes.
So he can pick as much as he wants out of Miro's brain of like, hey, if I want to leave, what should I do about it?
Yeah.
And Miro's going to tell him A, B, and C. And if he wants to stay, he wants to stay. And I think that's the nice thing about having a current player on your coaching staff.
Now, if he does stay, what does the team possibly look like next year? What's the turnaround? Who's all staying?
Carl Reed is leaving. Bruce Cullen will be leaving. Broussard will be here. Brett will be here. Alferi, who's in net, will be here. They're going to lose some key pieces, but there's going to be some players that we've seen some bright spots, from broadcasting the games on the bench that are been coming off the bench that are going to get a lot more starting time. So it'll be interesting next year.
But still a good core. Still a very good core.
Very
all
good
right.
core.
Good. So we'll switch to a different sport since we've got a brief moment. Let's talk women's hockey. Northeastern University is coming in this weekend, Friday and Saturday. There's one big name on this team that isn't going to be there, and it's Taylor Crosby. I don't even have to give any background for who Taylor Crosby is for a couple people. Obviously.
For people from Pittsburgh, they should probably know who Taylor Crosby is. It's Sydney's little sister.
Yes. But there's a chance she's probably not going to be here.
I've heard she's not going to be here. She's going to be here. I think Team Canada's U team has a tournament, and I looked at the rosters. I don't see Taylor on the roster. And I looked at Northeastern's website. They didn't say anything about Taylor leaving. So, we'll find out in about, 28 hours? No, more than 20, about 30 hours, if Taylor will be here or not. But what would be more interesting to see is if Sydney shows up, because I know they're on the road tonight at Detroit, and then Saturday they're at Nashville. It would be interesting to see if he just pops a flight home just to check out, see his little sister's playing.
Yeah. Now, obviously, Taylor's a freshman. There's a very good chance like she wouldn't even see any action in net. What else could Northeastern throw at us? I mean, this is a team that is built very well, but at the same time, Robert Morris is also pretty strong in themselves.
They are. Northeastern is one of those teams that has given the Colonials fits. The Colonials are 1-3-1 overall against Northeastern, and the last time they beat them in overtime in 2007. So it's been a very long time, and Northeastern is just on the edge of getting into the polls. So it's going to be a tough battle for the Colonials. They've had a rough non-conference schedule, which, can be good, but as we saw with the football team, it's been, their Achilles heel was a rough schedule.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're good for sports. Buzz, I want to bring you in. You've been relatively quiet, like a.
How you doing?
Yeah. Okay. So you guys are going to be going golfing later.
Yes.
Specifically, just going to the driving range.
Yep.
Between the two of you, who's better?
Oh, that's
up for debate. Yeah.
Because we can either one of us can hit it really far. I mean, we're at the bubble, so it's like it's 100 yards, but you hit the ceiling. Either one of us, like on any given ball, can either hit it really far, or we're going to slice it to the right or hit it 4 feet.
Okay.
Just put it this way. None of us will go out for the RMU golf team anytime soon.
No.
Okay. All right.
We don't wager on them either. Although I think we should make a bet about anyone who could put in one of the netting that has all the golf balls in it that's sinking. We should put a wager on that.
That'd be pretty cool.
$5?
$5.
All right, let's
do it.
All
right, there it is. All right. Dante Vermeij, thank you so much. Good luck today.
Yeah, buddy. Go watch videos in econ. Whoever thought you'd watch videos in an econ class?
Go figure.
Yeah.
You have a good day.
You guys do as well. I'll be back next week.
We'll take a break whenever we come back. We're talking Tom Wolfe and his relatability to some voters, and we're going off of Nick Mazzilli's article in Century Media, and there's a lot that is to this. So I'm really looking forward to the conversation that we're going to have here. You're listening to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. This is RMU Chat. Ben Cole and Nick Bozzelli with you. Mike Funyak has the day off. Buzz, I want to get into an article that you wrote a couple days ago on the Century Media website. You can look this up on rmucenturymedia.com. It talks about Tom Wolf. Tom Wolf is, for those that don't know, and first off, shame on you that you don't know who Tom Wolf is. He's a Democrat that's running for governor, and he's going up against Tom Corbett, the Republican, who's held office for a good couple years now. Buzz, you talked a little bit more about his relatability to voters. We know this guy. He's a businessman. He drives a Jeep Wrangler, so he's a regular guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, or else it appears to be. I mean, he drives a 2006 Jeep Wrangler. It has like 95,000 miles, I believe, on it. And he's a multi-billionaire. He owns his own company. It was his family's business. He inherited it. And started out as a forklift driver. So he, after college, he went to Dartmouth, which pretty prestigious school right there in itself. Then he went over to England, get his master's, went to MIT and earned his doctorate in architecture. Then came back to his company. He's like, yeah, I don't really want to be an architect. Let me drive a forklift for a cabinet company. And kind of started his way.
Which just happened to be the family business.
Yeah, it just right? happened to be the family business. So it wasn't like he was hurt for money at the time, but he just wanted to be humble, wanted to start out at the bottom, work his way up. And, yeah, he started as a forklift driver, eventually inherited the business, became CEO. And once he got into his political career, he sold the business off. And it was a family company, so all the employees he'd known for a really long time. And the person who owned the business was company was going into foreclosure. So he actually put his political career on halt, bought the company back, resurfaced it, saved a lot of people's jobs in the local area from York County, which is right below Harrisburg. And, yeah, I mean, he's just an everyday likable guy, and he has this really personable demeanor where a lot of politicians kind of think they're above the influence. But, yeah, this guy, you can relate to him, which I think is really going to help him, and he's ahead in the polls, and that's probably what's going to ultimately drive him to Harrisburg.
Now, here's one thing. I'll play devil's advocate with you. You know, I didn't go to England for my master's. You know, I went to Moon Township for my master's, which I'm currently going through. Yeah, it is pretty close enough. I didn't own a company. You know, I don't have money out the wazoo. But I am a registered Democrat, so I am kind of interested in how Tom Wolf is doing things. But how much more relatable can he be? I mean, outside of, you know, he's looking to tax Marcellus Shale in the state. He wants to touch a little bit, make some adjustments to education. There's a couple other aspects that he has that... from what Corbett has done that he wants to try to adjust. And another big thing, too, is he's probably going to raise some taxes, which really nobody really likes, but how can he make that, you know, make it more understanding for, you know, the voter? How can he relate these things to vote for him?
I mean, I think his message boiled down in simplest form is just like, hey, Pennsylvania's kind of... It's been rough the past couple of years, and I'm a PA native. I want to make the Commonwealth better, and here, come with me. If you follow my beliefs, help me achieve my goals, Pennsylvania will be a lot better place to live, work, and play. And I think that's ultimately the message that people picked up on. Because, I mean, yeah, with school cuts, taxes, stuff like that, it's been a rough 4 years or so. So, I mean, I think his main idea is just like, hey, we're going to get PA back on the right track and just vote for me.
Now, again, here's me playing the devil's advocate. What bad things have come out about Tom Wolf that you've seen?
I mean, I've obviously in politics, every politician's going to run negative ads against their counterparts,
sure,
like that. I mean, ones that I've seen is that he claims that he shares a lot of his profits from the cabinet business back to his family, and then Corbett's run ads attacking that. So it's kind of like you know, you don't know what side to believe. Obviously, it's just part of the political scheme.
Well, of course he runs the company. You know, it's a family business. Of course, his family probably has some shares or a portion of ownership. So of course they're going to get a little bit of a cut, right?
Yeah. Like I said, there has been stuff coming out in the attack ads. That's mainly all I've been following of late. I haven't really been a political junkie per se before I wrote this article and before I actually met him and interviewed him.
Mm-hmm.
And because politics are one of those things where, like, yeah, I don't really worry about it. But now,
you should. These are things that you should worry about. You're registered to vote, right?
Correct.
Okay. Good. It just blows my mind that people our age, and just people, just a lot of people in general, are just so apathetic to politics, and they think, no, it really doesn't affect me. Well, yes, it does. You know, whenever you go to pay fill up your car for gas, you know, the price of gas, that's slightly relegated through politics. Education is relegated through politics. The reason why we're here, I don't even want to ask how much you're paying for college, but all that you have to tell me is it's a lot.
Way too much.
And it is a lot. And there's government, the government is making some regulations, and they're trying to make some adjustments. And, you know, in Pennsylvania has a lot of schools, in high school, in college, for, you know, anybody that wants to pursue a higher education career and get a degree. But it costs. So it's up to the governor to try to make some regulations. And that is big. That is big. Pennsylvania is an absolute political powerhouse. And whoever is going to run this state for what is a governor term? 4 years? 2 years?
4 years.
4 years. Thank you. For the next 4 years, it might be a new guy in Wolf. Corbett might be back in office. We don't know. But no matter what, no matter if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, if you're Green, Libertarian, and any other party out there, you need to vote. You need to make a decision between Corbett and Wolf. I mean, and obviously there's a couple other offshoot people that are running for governor as well, but these are the two main guys. Buzz, what has Corbett done to possibly put him in a positive light? I mean, his time in office has not been all a bed of roses. So what is he trying to do for himself now to possibly turn things around?
I mean, he has some things where he can look to. I mean, and it's going off of political competence. I mean, taking credit for all the good things you've done, I don't really think Corbett's done a great job of that. The natural gas industry has improved a lot over the past 4 years when he was in office. And, I mean, unemployment is down. So he hasn't really taken credit for those things where he should have taken credit and be like, look, I've done all this great stuff. You know, I'm still a good politician. And I think that's ultimately can lead to his downfall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a double-edged sword. Like, he's done a lot of good stuff in office, but if he doesn't publicize it and the public doesn't know about it, they're not going to want to vote for him. They're going to be like, oh, we just remember school budget
cuts. We remember all the bad things.
Yeah, we remember all the bad things. And that can ultimately probably push Wolf a little bit ahead, as much as the relatability factor as well.
Now, Pennsylvania is the only state right now that does not have any regulations for Marcellus Shale. If Corbett is reelected, do you think that he would make some regulations or at least make some tax that is going to be regulated from the Marcellus Shale industry?
I mean, I think he would have to, just judging by the way what Wolf's claimed to do if elected, and just looking at that and the numbers and the response from the people that he's gotten, I think he would have to at least consider it. I don't know if he would go as far as actually putting something in place or enacting mm-hmm. a law or something like that, but he'd definitely be on the agenda, you would at least think.
Yeah. November 4th is Election Day. You need to make your voice heard. Find your polling place. If you're living on campus but you're not registered to vote in the Moon Township area, look up the information to see if you can file for an absentee ballot.
I know the Career Center is, voting is at Moon High School, and the Career Center is having shuttles running there.
There you go.
So, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of 18 to 24-year-olds don't really care about politics, but it's something that's going to affect people in the long run. And, hey, if they're providing transportation, you really have no excuse to vote if you're not registered, right?
Exactly. There is no excuse now for you not to go vote. You can read more of Nick Bozzelli's article at length, which is a very good piece, by the way. RMUcentrymedia.com is where you can look this up. We're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, it's police blotter time, and there's a couple good things on this one, and I'm really looking forward to getting into talking to this with our good friend, Nick Bozzelli. I'm Ben Cole. This is RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. You're listening to RMU Chat with Ben Cole and Nick Bozzelli. Before we get into our police blotter extravaganza talk, Buzz, I want to remind everybody what's going to be going on RMU TV on election night.
From the hours of 9 to 11 on election night, RMU TV partnered up with RMU Central Media and will provide two-hour live coverage geared towards a college-aged audience, providing packages on what you need to know about the candidates, and we'll also get live results, pull in social media, and update the website accordingly. So check it out. It's a really good time, and instead of watching CNN, Fox News, whatever, who might only have a little bit on Pennsylvania, go to RMU TV, Channel 98, get all the facts you need to know about the election so you can be better informed.
There you go. There you go. All right, so it is police blotter time. That's Nick Bozzelli's favorite part of the show.
How can you not love the police blotter?
It's the only reason why you're here.
Exactly.
It's the only reason why he's here. So, again, rmucentralmedia.com is the place where you can find not only Nick's great article on Tom Wolf's relatability, but you can also find the police blotter, which is put up every is it every Thursday?
It's been every Wednesday this
every
semester.
Every Wednesday. Okay, this semester it's every Wednesday. But, you know, regardless, it's up every week. So, Buzz, fire away.
All right, not too much to talk about this week. I mean, obviously, the last 2 weeks, a little bit of a more, per se, party weekend at RMU, I guess. You could say with homecoming, and then last week, everyone just off their homecoming high. But we do have one thing. Were you here last Tuesday for the power outage?
Yes.
That was give me your overall thoughts about that. Like, where were you? What were you doing?
Well, I was back in my office, which is right around the corner from Century Media, working on something. I can't remember, but the lights flickered, and then they went off for maybe less than 10 seconds, and then they came back on. And then I think there was a moment where they went back off, but after that, they came back on, and it was perfectly fine. Maintenance sent out the generic email. Hey, there was power. There was a power outage. Well, we already knew that.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I didn't know that. No, I don't have power to go on my computer and check my email. But yeah, I guess the power's out. But yeah, the police blotter. I mean, they just say that the power outage actually caused multiple fire alarms to go off in John Jay, Salem, Lexington, and Lafayette. And officers didn't know really why the alarms were going off, so they responded and be like, oh, power was out, the alarms reset. But yeah, that's something with power outages. We have about 1 to 2 per year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my sophomore year, which would have been 2 years ago, in the spring, there was a big one where a power line right outside Patrick Henry actually blew over. It was a really windy afternoon. And power was out, I feel like, for an hour or so.
Oh, my.
So it was an interesting time. But
and to be fair, they still don't know what caused the power outage.
Exactly. Still under investigation. But we have on that same day, which would have been last Tuesday, October 14th, which this might have occurred while the power was out. No one knows. But officers observed a man trying to steal one of the umbrellas from the Nicholson Plaza. So, you know, the metal tables, metal chairs?
Yeah.
The blue and white RMU umbrellas?
Yeah.
I guess a kid was like, hey, this would probably be cool to have. And he just tried to walk away with one. And
so you can't use those umbrellas?
Yeah.
What are the umbrellas used for?
They're supposed to be, from what I know, when it's sunny outside, you kind of, you know, like, hey, I'm going to eat my lunch outside, send an umbrella. Don't want to get skin cancer.
Okay.
Yeah, one of those.
So not like a rain umbrella, an actual, like, table umbrella.
A table umbrella, from what it's saying. So, I mean, I guess, hey, maybe it was during the power out, the kid's like, hey, it's dark out, no one can see me steal this, right?
Let's loot it. Let's loot.
Or maybe it was raining that day, I don't really remember, last Tuesday.
Okay.
I mean, we have once again, the stop sign down at Colonial Way in Campus Drive. People just buzz right through that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been having a lot of ticket violations for that. But we also have, which occurred on October 17th, a little motor vehicle accident on campus where a driver struck a curb near Nicholson, causing damage to his tire and axle. And officers responded, and the motorist was able to get the vehicle towed. So not something where it was like car on car. Just kind of like, hey.
Just one car.
It's like, hey, I guess.
I will give you three guesses for what that person was probably doing, and the first two don't count.
Texting.
Bingo. Can only imagine that person was texting. It's so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you just, I hit a curb and, my axle is damaged. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, it's not like the roads aren't wide, because they're narrow in some spots, I'll give them that, but still, you know, yeah. Like, unless you have a big truck, you're not gonna hit curb.
There's two in here that take us back to our favorite place on Robert Morris campus, which is Yorktown Hall. There's two of them here. The first one, actually, both of these happened on the October 20th, so this is fairly recent. Property damage. Student in Yorktown Hall reported that someone tampered with his laundry. Officers were able to identify the subject, and an investigation is currently open.
So I have two things wrong with that. Number one, why would they use the word tampered? Is laundry evidence? You know, it's like...
Tampered. Probably somebody stole his laundry.
I would just put someone swiped laundry, stole laundry, you know?
But it is property damage, so I'd like to assume that maybe somebody saw something in there and wanted to mess with it.
Yeah, like, you know? Hey, I don't like this shirt, let me rip it in half.
There you go. All right, here's another one. Lost property. Student reported lost property in Yorktown Hall. This case is currently under investigation. Okay, if it's currently under investigation, there's lost property. What is it? We don't know what it is.
Could it be the articles of clothing?
It could be those articles of clothing that have been previously tampered with. Ironically, it was both on the same day. So
both in Yorktown.
Very well could be connected.
I know. It's maybe, you know, evidence of laundry was tampered with. Someone decided to steal it.
Yes.
They didn't want to really report about it, so the investigation's still open.
Now, here's another one. Fire. Mulch in the Yorktown Hall parking lot caught fire and began to smoke. Officers and maintenance were able to extinguish the fire without incident. Didn't we already have a mysterious odor that was in the Yorktown parking lot at one point?
And especially in Yorktown, there are always mysterious odors. And I'm just going to throw this out there. How would mulch catch on fire unless someone accidentally dropped something in it, correct?
Possibly a cigarette or another smoking device?
Exactly.
Possibly.
I'm gonna throw. If I had to guess, I would probably say spot on right there.
Probably yes. Probably something with a fire attached.
But
to
my
it.
Other thing: why is there mulch in the parking lot? that's what the incident be like. I don't care who set it on fire. Yeah, who put the mulch there?
Why is there mulch in the parking lot? That's a very good question.
I'm gonna have to investigate that.
What else? What else do you see?
We have not. Not a whole lot of this. Like I said, we have missing property once again, where a student came to the police station and said their wallet was lost in downtown Pittsburgh.
Oh, now to be fair, we do have the downtown campus. We can't forget
correct.
About those guys.
Correct. I did forget about that. It said officers made contact with Pittsburgh police who recovered the wallet and returned to its owner.
Yeah, that's never... it was found.
They actually found the wallet.
Oh, how about that?
So, yeah, like I said, we do have the downtown campus, but if I lost my wallet downtown, I would probably get
I've lost things downtown before, and, yeah, they never get turned off.
Yeah, well, you'll see it maybe, like, 3 years later in the dark alley behind McDonald's on Liberty Avenue.
Pretty much. Well, you can find the police blotter every week on the Century Media website, rmucenturymedia.com. We're going to take another break. Whenever we come back, the course schedule book for the spring semester has come out. So we're going to pick and prod a little bit through it. What classes are good, what classes are not so good. And yeah, it's going to be a good time. You're listening to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. You're listening to RMU Chat, Ben Cole and Nick Bozzelli. Minus the Mike Funyak today, he is off, but he will be back next week. And actually, Nick Bozzelli, you're not going to be here.
Yeah, I'll be in a conference in Philadelphia.
Well, look at you.
Moving up in the world.
Right, what kind of conference is this?
It's for the College Media Association's fall conference, and they have one every fall in a location to be determined every year in the spring conference in March. Always in New York City. Always a good time.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to the most with this conference?
I was supposed to present at the conference, and I was looking forward to that until I got an email a couple days ago where they're like, we had to cut your session due to they didn't have enough room. So I was kind of bummed about that.
And, so they had too many sessions?
Yeah.
And so they bumped you?
Yeah, they bumped me. So, and I was kind of bummed about that, but it's still always a good time. This will be my 7th one of these conferences over the past 4 years.
Have you been to Philadelphia before?
I've only been to Philly once, and it was when I was really little, so I don't really remember.
You don't remember much?
Yeah.
So,
but okay. I was told not to run the Rocky Steps by one of my professors.
I wouldn't do that.
That's what he said. I mean, he said that you spend a day of it to run up, like, a flight of steps that literally takes a minute.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, yeah, we spent 2 hours getting here, got a 2-hour train ride back to downtown, you know? So, yeah, I was advised not to do that, but I was also given a lot of other cool stuff to do, so.
So are you gonna take in a cheesesteak?
I am.
Are you going to go to Pat's or are you going to go to Geno's?
I haven't made up my mind yet.
Have you heard about Pat's and Geno's?
I have.
See, it's like product A, product B, you know.
Why not go to both, you know?
Okay.
I like to treat everyone equal.
Sure. Okay. I'll go with that. So, it's already that time of year. It's already time to start scheduling classes for the spring semester. We're in midterms right now, but hey, we got to worry about next year. So, the course schedule book came out. It is a bright, vibrant pink this time. I'm guessing because it's October and it's for breast cancer awareness. Why not? So, Nick, you've been going through the course book right now. What are some good classes that you have seen that you would want to take for next semester?
So ones that I haven't taken, but they're like, hey, they look interesting.
Yeah. Like, oh, if I had the credits or if I had the time, this is a class that I would take.
I would say one, starting off, if I had the credits and open electives, I like history a lot.
Okay.
They're having a class dedicated entirely to the Vietnam War.
Okay.
So if that's your forte, if you're a history
buff. Is there a little description of it, or does it just say Vietnam War?
It just says Vietnam War, so there's not a whole lot of description.
Okay.
So I would say that. A couple other, I don't know if I would want to take this one, but there's a class, it's English British literature. Like, who doesn't love the Brits, right?
Sure.
From 1789 to present. So you got, like,
that's pretty broad.
Exactly. You have 225 years to cover.
A good bit.
Yeah, to cover in 16 weeks. So, but one that really jumped out on the page that they're offering this year, it's an honors seminar course called Creating the Magic, the Leadership, Entertainment, and Fandom of Walt Disney World.
Ooh.
And I have a little description, and I want to read right here.
Go right ahead.
This course addresses the leadership, operations, entertainment, and fandom that support and surround Walt Disney World. It explores the leadership strategies conceived and applied at Walt Disney World and how these strategies have led to a financial and creative success. So that's kind of like an honors seminar course, and for those of you who don't know what those are, it's for the honors program, which you don't have to necessarily be an honors student to take it. But if you are, it's one of the requirements you have to fulfill to graduate from the honors program. And they all those courses are geared towards engaging the mind more than just like book smarts. You know, you have to think about the creative process, how to apply things to the real world. But I just think it's really cool to offer a class on Disney World. And not only, it's probably not going to be on like, hey, how tall is Space Mountain or how fast you go on so-and-so ride.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's about the operation aspect of Disney.
How it works behind the scenes.
Yeah, behind the scenes, basically, okay. Which I think would be interesting to learn. Like, who doesn't love Disney World? Am I right?
Mm-hmm. I had a roommate in college that he went and did the Disney College program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're down there for a semester. You take a couple Disney classes, and then you work in the park. And some of them actually have the opportunity to become some of the characters. He got the chance to be Pluto for a couple times.
Who doesn't? Yeah, Pluto's awesome.
So, For me, I was going through this a little bit. One that really sticks out to me that I would possibly be interested in if I had the time, and if, more so if this was my concentration. This is under Computer Information Systems. The class is Cyber Law.
And which is actually really relevant if you think about it with social media and everything going on.
It is very much relevant. I mean, it goes back to our conversation that we had last week about Yik Yak. And about Yik Yak and Snapchat, how much information do we really want to put out there? And if we do put information out there, if we take a picture on Instagram, who owns it? Is it us? Is it Instagram? That's one big thing that will definitely come up in cyber law. Here's two that I would be really interested in: rock and rhetoric.
I've taken that class.
Is it good?
It was by far my favorite class I've taken at RMU.
So give me a brief synopsis of what you talked about in Rock and Rhetoric.
Basically, one thing I will say is that was the only textbook in college that I've actually read. Like, I hate to read. For any professors listening, I don't read your books. I'm sorry. It's not you, it's me.
And you're going to be graduating.
I am going to be graduating.
How are you able to graduate? You have yet to read a book.
I ask myself
that every day. You are literate, right? You're the editor-in-chief of Century Media, correct?
Correct, yeah. I like to write. I don't like to read.
Okay.
But, yeah, that was the one book I've actually read. Like, one chapter was on, it started out the way the book was centered in the class, ultimately, as well. It just started out talking about early music, the beginning of pop music in the 1920s. With ragtime, jazz, Scott Joplin, all that stuff. Then he progressed to the 40s. 50s is when it really got interesting with Elvis, Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, things like that. And then you move every decade and you just talk about how it's all about pop music and how it's progressed. And the test, like I said, the study for a test, there were times where I read the book, and I actually did read that book because they had one chapter dedicated to like the Beastie Boys and one chapter to like rap, one chapter to hip-hop, stuff like that.
Okay.
But the way the class was centered is that the test, you had to listen to music. And
that's such a hard test.
And that's how you study for the test. And then Dr. Pinson would play a little snippet of maybe like 10 seconds. It could be the beginning, middle, end of a song. And you had to write down on a piece of paper the song title and what artist it was by.
Okay.
Which I love studying for that test. I'm like, I'm just going to pop on my headphones, just sit here quietly and just listen to music, and hey, I'm studying.
That's good. That's good. Here's another one that I'm really interested in. This comes from our sports management concentration. This one's called International Sport. Now, this does come with a description, so I really need to read this one. It says, the main feature of this course is a trip to Greece, the birthplace of Western civilization, and the Olympics. This is your class. You get to go to Greece. Students will visit the archaeological sites of the Acropolis, Delphi, Epidaurus, and ancient Olympia. Stops will also include Kalamero Stadium, I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly, which hosted the first modern Olympic Games in 1986, and the Olympic Athletic Center of Athens, Spyros Lewis, at which the opening and closing ceremonies of the 2004 Summer Olympics were held. While in Greece, students will have the opportunity to interact with executives from local sport properties such as the Super League Greece, which is the soccer, one of the big soccer leagues in there, Olympiakos FC, which is a soccer team there, and the Athens Marathon. The study abroad component of this course will take place from May 10th to May 24th, 2015. You get to go to Greece for 2 weeks.
How
cool is that?
That would be awesome.
How cool is that?
Especially, is it Dr. A that's leading the trip?
It does not say who the instructor is, but I would like to assume that Dr. A would be there.
And if Dr. any time you get to go on a trip with Dr. A,
yeah.
She's an awesome professor, and it seems like a lot of fun. Yeah. So
have you looked for this to see like what classes you're going to be taking next semester? Do you already know, have an idea of what you're going
to
be taking?
I have an idea of what I have to take to fulfill my minor. It's just a matter of...
And your minor is?
Sport management.
Okay.
So
are you going to go to Greece?
Something I can look into.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
It all depends on a financial situation.
Sure,
there, I guess.
Sure.
Because I know the international trips are a lot out of pocket.
Mm-hmm. But for your minor.
For my minor, so I know what classes I have to take. I have to take 4 sport management classes in the spring to fulfill my minor. Now it's whether or not all 4 are going to be offered. That I haven't looked at yet. I really don't want to stay and graduate next December.
You don't want to be a super senior.
I don't want to be a super senior, you know, just for a minor. So in that case, it depends if I can get all those classes or maybe I can get a couple waived from my check sheet.
So have you decided what you're going to take?
Not yet. I have an advisor meeting tomorrow at actually 1 o'clock. So I have 24 hours to go through this book and write down my schedule. So I should probably get on that.
No pressure.
After we get off the air, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
No pressure.
Exactly. The countdown is on.
So you need 4 classes for your minor.
Plus 1 class mass media seminar to fulfill my journalism concentration.
Now tell me what mass media seminar is.
That is a class. It's a seminar class, which is obviously, it's in the title, where you do 1 major project, something related to the field of media, what you want to do when you graduate. So I know students in the past have, they've done things where they would do like documentaries on like a sports team or documentary on something else, or they would write a couple chapters of a book they want to write or something like that. I was talking to one of my fellow classmates, you may know him, John Fisher, and he was throwing out the idea of maybe writing, he wants to ultimately write a book on wrestling in the WWE.
Sure.
He was throwing out the possibility of writing the first few chapters of that, and as part of the class, trying to pitch it to a publishing company and seeing what happens after that. So,
is that something that you could possibly work with him on? Or are you going to be doing something completely different?
I would probably be doing something completely different. I'm not really sure the structure or the setup of the class. Because during my, we'll have 3 different professors teach it during my 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So the only professor, during my time here, that has taught that class twice is Dr. Anthony Moretti, who taught it in spring of 2013, spring of 2014. So that's with... When you have 3 different professors over a 4-year period, you know, they're going to all structure the classes different. Nothing's really going to be the same. So it'll be interesting to see how it will be set up as opposed to, like, rumors I've heard, you know, just from talking to classmates.
So tentatively, you have no idea what you would like to do.
Yeah, you can say that, I guess.
Okay.
I have, what do I have, 6 months until, when's May?
You've got time.
I've got time.
You've got time to figure it out. Okay. All right. Well, I think this is a good point to end for the day. I think we had a very good show.
And I now I know what I got to do. I got to figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life.
Yes,
so.
Yes. Now go home and figure out. Yeah, exactly. Go home and figure out what you're going to do with the rest of your life. Go look at that course book. The course book is in various places across campus, or if you can't find one, go to admissions or one of the academic areas.
Yeah, they have them. I actually picked mine up in the CAF.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
Yeah, I was walking. I'm like, hey, yeah, I need some reading material while I'm going to eat. So instead of looking at the New York Times, who wants to read the New York Times?
I actually enjoy reading the New York Times. Thank you, sir.
Okay, so I know 2 people on campus who picked that up.
And if anybody wanted to know what I would be taking, my concentration in higher education, it's already set up for me. Ethical, legal issues in higher education, and government and accountability in higher education. So that is what I will be taking.
How are your grad classes now?
Well, so far I've only completed 1. I'm in 8 weeks, 8 week courses. So we did critical issues in higher education, and I got a B. So I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy about that.
Was it difficult as opposed to what you were used to as an undergrad?
Well, in some cases yes, in some cases no. Because I'm taking an online program. All my curriculum is through Blackboard. So that's how I do my classes. I have 2 discussion board questions. I have a paper that I have to write every week. So that's what I have to do. So,
okay. So it's not really, it's not test taking.
No.
It's just all a lot of like writing work.
Yes. And a lot of reading.
A lot of reading. I don't know if I could do that. You know, I think
you'd manage.
I'd manage? Okay.
I think you'd manage.
They have Spark Notes on those readings?
No. All right. I don't think so. So we're going to end for the day. We thank you very much for listening. We will be here next week, minus Buzelli, plus Funyak, and Dante Vermey, as always, will be here to give us our sports at the top of the show. For Dante Vermey, for Nick Buzelli, I am Ben Cole, and you have been listening to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
something wrong, but I never got caught. So of course I would do it all over again. I surprised many people who'd written me off years ago. Now they're way underground. Nobody asked me, but here's my advice to a young man.